For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yo, 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 guess who's unmuted to start the show? It's me, Righteous Reg. It's indeed Black History Month is still in effect. J Rose is celebrating a birthday for some odd reason. Everything
I don't know
is
why I did that.
This show is starting out exactly how I expected it. I said, when we come into the show, Mike, I need J Rose to somehow, for some reason, have balloons shoot over his video, because that's how we're going to start this. Everybody, thank you guys for joining us. It's Black History Month again. Our friend J Rose is here. Title of the show says something, but we're starting out a little different. We got a special guest joining us here in the building. It's the current MLW featherweight champion of the world. She'll kick your face off. She'll kick your feet off. She'll kick your hat off. She'll kick a sandwich out of your hand. Jenai Kai, Jenai, how are you today? Thank you again for joining us.
I'm doing really, really well. I had a really good week so far. Had a little bit of a wrestling break, but I'm very thankful for it. I'm content right now. I'm ready to get back into some matches coming up, but I'm feeling good.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. J-Rose, before we get into it, how's your week going, my brother?
Hey, man, someone has to face the horrors that life gives us, and I just happen to be the man for that job. No, I'm doing okay. Very happy to sit down with my friend Jenai. I feel like we haven't spoken in like a year, damn near. So,
really, yeah, it feels like a very, very long time.
Honestly, that's been every guest this month. I think I should talk to my friends more often. Damn.
Everybody's just so busy, J Rose. It's not cut for nothing, you know what I mean? Jenai was out in Japan for a while. True. Like, there's a lot going on. It's
true.
Not just like people are not talking to each other. It's for really, really, really good reasons. But did you get into some all-star activities? I saw that the big game was out there in your city with your people. It was looking good. It looks like people were having fun out there.
Objectively, I have to say, pro wrestling is my favorite sport, but in my heart, before wrestling, my first love, I'm basketball. In the famous words of Curtis Blow, is my favorite sport, and it was just really cool to see. Like, I don't know what y'all be doing over there. We have a phrase here in 49 states. It's just basketball. This is Indiana. It's like religion out here. So it was really cool to see all manner of people out and about doing all sorts of cool stuff. It was also cool to, like, this is going to sound crazy, but this is the only way I can frame it, to see a mass group of Black people in downtown Indianapolis and nothing wrong is happening. Like, everybody was chill. There was no violence. There was no nothing. Now, literally, as soon as the All-Star game ended, there was like 9 shootings, but for the entire weekend, everybody took a break. And you gotta take the little victories as you have them. Tyrese Halliburton should have won MVP. Damian Lillard froze him out of the game. If you are from the Milwaukee or Wisconsin municipal area, we have beef now, and there's nothing you can do about it until we beat you on the playoffs. So I had a great weekend.
Listen, I'm glad I listened to all that and I didn't leave for any part of it.
You're powering through. It's okay.
Thank you again. It looked like you were having fun. I saw you out there with some kids and stuff. I just love when, especially with what kind of things you usually do and working with the youth and all those great things you're doing out there. Anytime you could get like a group of people together to just have fun and just enjoy each other and enjoy it over something that they love so much, as in basketball, really dope stuff. But yeah, let's get into it again. It's still Black History Month. We are paying tribute to Black independent wrestling and the best and brightest and everything kind of surrounding it. And if you're talking that, Jenai Kai is the one. Janai, I think I want to start with MLW because this featherweight division is a newer concept to MLW, and you're the champion. Like, there hasn't been many of them, and you're kind of leading the way. So talk to me about how did you get into MLW's into this division, and how did you kind of become a focal point out there?
Well, they first hit me up when I was in Japan. So they just messaged me and they were like, hey, when you come back, do you want to like come through? And I said, yeah, I mean, I have that day available. And like, they've been wanting me, apparently, like, they told me they've been wanting me to be there for a while now. And so, yeah, I went in September when I came back. And I teamed up with Selena De La Renta. And yeah, and then like my debut, I won the title. So everything happened so quickly. And it's like my expression right now is literally showing like how I was thinking during that whole time. Like, I just came back from Japan and I won a title. So yeah, that's how it basically all happened.
It sounds classic. That's classic pro wrestling of like, oh, wait, this crazy thing is happening, but it's happening so fast. I don't even have time to really digest it happening. When you became the champion, what was that kind of feeling like? Because MLW is a pretty, it's a bigger stage than, you know, the stages that you have been on previously. Mm-hmm. I think Japan definitely upped your stock, but MLW is one of the biggest stage you've been here in America. How was it just to win a championship and kind of take in those feelings?
It's crazy to me because I've mentioned a couple of times that I kept my eye on MLW. Like, I was seeing what they were doing, especially when it came to bringing in women. Like, I was really paying attention to that. And ever since I started training, even my trainer, she wrestled on MLW. And like, I was just really paying attention from then on. And once I saw that they were starting up the featherweight division, I was like, okay, this is interesting. Let's see how long this actually lasts, though. Let's see what's going on here.
Yeah.
And from what I saw, like, they had a couple champions already. And I was like, okay, something's growing here. It looks very interesting. And then after I saw, like, Taya coming through, I thought that was really cool. And so it made me think more. I'm like, okay, this could be a place for me as well. Like, this is now definitely an option. Because to be honest, I wasn't thinking too much of MLW to be somewhere to go. Like, it would be cool to come through. But this is something like definitely like has an edgy vibe to it, and something that I felt like, okay, my style can actually fit into this, because they're more of like a very like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's different when it comes to the type of atmosphere and energy that they give, rather than when you watch Impact or AEW or any of that. I don't want to like compare it too much to any of those, but like, I like the way that it's going. It kind of gives me old Ring of Honor vibes in a way, if that makes sense. And so once I saw that, I'm like, okay, maybe I could really fit into this. And I was also thinking about myself as a wrestler. There needs to be a point where I can see myself going into that level of like TV Janai Kai and really work on that part of me and seeing where that goes and really becoming something.
That's dope. Yeah. So kind of like, I mean, that's what I kind of like about MLW is they are higher on the independent wrestling sphere that we talk about, but they do have a lot of character development. Like, you see independent wrestlers that you see on the weekly weekend basis and all the different companies, but over there it seems like they get to develop more of that and try to tell the story of a TV wrestler, like you said. With the transition, they've been kind of, MLW is kind of consistently in a transitional basis and moving to different platforms and things. What do you think the getting more people to tune into that, what do you think the disconnect comes in with MLW? Is it that what they represent? Because like the content of the show is like, some of it's like they're doing like WWF type deal. It's like not like it's an independent wrestling show, but it's also like a bigger scale thing. Do you think that takes away from how people view it? Or do you think that that is what's needed to kind of continue to have MLW at the next level?
I think that's what's needed, because there's a lot of wrestlers like me who want to go to that next level, who want to get signed, but it's like, it's not our time yet, but at least there's a place where we can practice that. Cause I see it as like, it's not up there like that level that you're talking about, but it's like right in the middle. It's kind of in that spot where it's like, and a lot of people who are signed right now, we're on MLW, and a lot of I see a lot of fans who comment about certain wrestlers who are assigned on AEW or WWE, and they're like, oh yeah, I remember seeing him on MLW. So like they're very aware of where people are coming from, and they're very aware of MLW in general. So I think this is a perfect spot to be. And again, like with me wanting to work on myself and go to that next level, I think it's just the perfect place to be. A lot of people have been helping me already, like backstage, the producers, like working on segments, talking, like just all of that is so good for somebody who is right now, like at the level that I'm at, where it's like, okay, if we made all of these moves, now we're kind of at the spot where like we're buzzing a little bit, but we still need to do a little bit more, because people out there are like, let me wait on her for a second and see what she's doing, and then we'll reach out. Which I've had comments like that. So I think a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers can relate to that. And again, this would be a very good spot to be in if you are an indie wrestler feeling that way.
That's really cool. I think that kind of getting to develop on a maybe faster route than just being a regular, taking the regular weekend bookies on independent wrestling is great for MLW, great for all kind of wrestlers in that space. Japan, you were there. Every time I would be like, oh, Janai's in Japan, and then it'd be like a month later, I'm like, oh, she's still in Japan. Then another month later, I'm like, oh, she's still in Japan. I'm like, how long were you out there? And did you plan on being out there as long as you were out there?
No, I actually didn't even plan on going as many times as I did, because I went three times and like the first time it was with TJPW, and the second and third time was with Great. It's spelled GLEAT, but it's pronounced Great. But yeah, I did not expect to go even a second time. That's the thing. But they reached out to me, and of course I wanted to reach out to TJPW to see if it was okay, because over there, they're very strict when it comes to like who works where. And so once I got the okay to go again and work for them, I went the first time it was like for a few days, and the second time was for 2 months. So, and they were very close together. Those days were very close together. That's why it looks like I was gone for so long. But yeah, the third time, the last time was for 2 months.
Wow. So yeah, you had you were out there pretty much kind of immersed in it. Talk to us a little bit about how it was just to live out there for a while and what the training is like. Cause I think people are so intrigued about specifically Japanese women's wrestling and how intense the training and stuff could be. Talk to us a little bit about how you, the training and living there.
Yeah. So living out there, I was by myself all the times that I went. And so I kind of had to learn on my own when it came to the free time that I had, just to go around and really learn how everything works. It's very different, but also I was okay because I was staying in Tokyo, and there's a lot of tourists there, and they completely understood that, you know, I'm a tourist and I don't really didn't know much. And so it was helpful that a lot of people there like spoke English as well. But I loved going around because, of course, this was like a dream of mine to even be there. So I really learned so much about the culture. And then training there, it was very intense, yes. And then like just seeing how the training like just goes. It's just like seeing how they move is so different. I don't know how to explain it, but it's so different to see how they move and really go about things. And I'm really thankful that I was able to be a part of that. I love the atmosphere, and the wrestlers were so understanding and nice, and like they were open to whatever that I wanted to work on. And I would love to just train a little bit more again with them, because I did train with them a couple of a few times, but I would want to put in some more training sessions with them. I did have a lot of shows though The last time I went, I had 7 shows, and like there was a couple times where I would go into training on Thursdays, but I want to do a little bit more. But overall, I'm very thankful and learned a lot.
That is very cool. Our friend Brooke is here. Hey.
You made it. I was telling them to change the title to With Janai Kai, not Brooke Valentine.
I'm so sick. Nice. I'm so sorry.
Are you okay, Brooke? Hell. You made it.
Y'all, I had the worst day today. I'm going to be completely honest. But oh, I'm here, and I'm so happy to be here.
We are happy to have you here. Of course, everybody, if you are not watching this on camera and you're listening to this, Brooke Valentine has joined us
finally
on the show. We are very excited for you to be here. And we're just talking to Janai about being in Japan and some MLW stuff. But thank you so much for joining us also, Brooke, because you play a very inaugural part of the space in independent wrestling, especially being a Black woman in the space. So appreciate having the both of you here at that for that. I think I actually want to get into that, because where we are with women's wrestling on a mainstream level, where we are with women's wrestling on an independent level, we have come to a great place. We're at an amazing space where there's women main eventing. We're seeing top class wrestlers against each other all the time. Like, we are at a great space, but of course we know there's still so much more. There's still so much we need to ground that needs to be covered. So many things that need to be changed and kind of focused on. So I think maybe starting with you, Brooke, how do you feel about where women's wrestling is in 2024?
I'm so excited about women's wrestling this year. I feel like being on like the sidelines really made me realize like, oh, we're kicking it up. The women coming out now are not the women that were like around when I started wrestling. And like, I feel like people don't realize that when we talk about women's wrestling needing more, it's just because like women's wrestling isn't new, but us getting the same opportunities as a lot of people is. Right. So like, it feels like we're so behind almost because we haven't had the chance to do all the things that men have. But I feel like we're really kind of picking it up, honestly. And like, the women are eating right now. The most wrestling news I feel like I see is about women in wrestling. Like, truthfully, it's I'm excited to come back. This is a great year. I feel like I got a good feeling about it.
Yeah. And Janai?
Yeah. I agree. Like, women's wrestling is definitely becoming something that it really hasn't been before. Because we've gone through our phases. We've gone through so many phases of women's wrestling for like the past 10, 15 years. And it's just crazy to see how it is now. There's so many women on the indies and even younger women who are killing it. And I can see for sure that we busted down the door. It's just like, all right, who's letting us in? Like, we're like, we're here. We're here. What's up?
So
go ahead, Joe.
Allow me to ask, what if we can all agree that it's better than it's ever been before for both women's wrestling and for wrestling for people of color, Black people. Mm-hmm. What doors do you think that you all see in your perspective that still need to be busted down, specifically here on the independents? I'm gonna get y'all in trouble. I'm sorry. I just realized what I asked. I'm gonna get you in trouble.
There's a lot of places that like to call themselves the forefront of indie wrestling, that consider themselves like, we are, if it's hot, we're showing it. And like, that's true for like white folks that they're booking. And men, and the two women.
No, nobody's being specifically talked about.
This is nobody specific. but if it were, I just think it's like, get with the times, old man. Like, if you're the tastemaker and you feel like people aren't biting on it, then you're not making the right taste. I don't know.
Talk to them.
Stop putting it on us. Be like, well, you're not selling enough tickets, or you're not moving.
I hate that.
And put it on you, the promoter. I don't know. You can make trash look like polished gold, but when it comes to anything else, it's on us. I don't know. Don't get me started.
There's a lot of comments too. Like, they say they don't know what to do with us, or they're not really sure, like, they'll get back to us type things. Like, you know damn well where you can squeeze us in. We see, like, everyone sees it. It's Everybody wrestling. Sees it.
What do you mean?
I've had so many fans, like, that are smart and, like, really watch these shows, and they see through things easily. So even when it comes to that, when it gets to that level where, like, they're noticing, that's when you're like, you have to, like, be like, all right, let's bring them in. Let's do this. Let's add more women here. It shouldn't even be, like, a process that long to think about.
I feel like a lot of places have done the whole, well, we don't have a women's division. Like, we book everybody the same. But then you look at their roster and it's like, okay, so ever since you let women challenge for the men's belt, there's been no women challenging for the men's belt. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. I feel like a lot of people are getting away with. They're just saying that, no, but we don't have this. We don't have X. We don't have Y. We don't book based off color. We book the best that we can get. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of that still, I feel like. But people are starting to call people out about it. And, like, I feel like the support for the companies that have been doing it is starting to get a little bit louder. I don't know if y'all are feeling it, but I really do feel like there's, like, a tide and people actually supporting with their views and their money now, as opposed to even just a couple years ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would say that the biggest thing in independent wrestling right now, which, you know, still doesn't help us here, like, here in the United States, but Joshi Wrestling is the most guaranteed draw of anything that's on independent shows. Mm-hmm. I've seen shows that draw 50, that once they book a Joshi, it's three times that size. Mm-hmm. So women's wrestling is quite clearly a draw. I don't understand how, you know, you're running a promotion. Anyone, specifically.
It could be anybody.
Anyone. And I could be talking about anyone. I don't know how anyone in the year 2024 is not particularly seeing themselves try and actively add more women to their, not only their regular roster, but just to shows. Even if it's just like, oh, you have a rotating, you know, it's not the same person every time. Well, at least it's one step in the right direction.
Yeah. I keep wanting to say compatibility, but that is not the word. Being held accountability.
Mm-hmm. Accountability. You're close.
I was so good there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Sounds the same. No, I got you.
Let me put this down, actually. it comes to us keeping people accountable, and, like, it sucks that we have to do that because nobody else will. But, like, you know, I love holding people accountable. I think it's fun.
That's a crazy way to put that. I feel you. That's a crazy. I love holding people accountable. I know what you're getting at, but also there's a devious tone to your voice.
Wrestling is a lot of people saying this, but thinking this.
Yeah.
And, like, they think we're stupid, I feel like, a lot of times. And it's like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I know my mom. I can pick up with someone saying something and mean something completely different. And, like, again, actions speak louder than words. And everyone's saying, oh, well, we don't book because of this. And you just look at their cards and it's like, well, then who do you book?
This is becoming a sick theme on this month's show with Black wrestlers of, I thought we were in the 2023, 2024s of, we don't have a space for you. Black people don't like wrestling. We can't have that many black wrestlers on our show. I'm like, people are still saying this.
Yeah,
and it's continue to be reiterated on every single show. And I'm like, how though? And it's like, I'd make a list of 500. Like, there's a lot of insanely talented people. So you can't tell me that you don't have space because, like, say in your two cases, this is two totally different wrestlers that do totally different things. So how can't you have a space for more than one, more than two? You have a space for 20. Why are you telling me this?
Mm-hmm.
I was about to get myself in trouble. No, nope. else go?
It's about getting yourself in trouble, Jordan. This is what we're doing here. What we're doing over here.
You started. I know it, I'm in trouble because you almost call me Jordan. That's how I know I'm almost in trouble.
Getting stern tone, like maybe you're right. I don't know about their government names out here. But yeah, it's honestly, it just still feels frustrating that we still have to be in this space fighting harder than we've ever fought, like to even get one match on a show, whether it be like, it's so hard that it has to be that thing of like, one, you can be a black wrestler. There's black male, but then if you're a black woman wrestler, like the most, you're against everything plus 10. And it's like, that shouldn't be like that at this point. You know what I mean? There should be just points where we have space for these women's wrestlers and they can all kind of represent something. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, do women only promotions like Mission Pro and things like that, does that help? Like, cause I get to a point of like, say take Black History Month. We have these black focused shows and it's like, I talk to a lot of black wrestlers and they're like, we like this, but we want to be on the other shows. We don't only want to have black centered shows. Does it feel like that for women's wrestling too? Of like, yeah, the women's wrestling, the full women's wrestling shows are awesome, but it'd be better if we were included with the other stuff, or is it just great in general having a space to be represented?
Janelle, if you want to go first.
Yeah, I think it's great if it's a woman that is running the shows.
Very important.
That's been important. A big thing lately. There's been some issues here and there, but I think if it's a woman that is running it, like for example, yeah, like Thunder Rosa, like having Mission Pro, Maria when she had Women's Wrestling Army, and it just like that type of atmosphere is so good to be in for us women. We love it actually, just being in an atmosphere like that.
Yeah.
Plus we have more time in our matches. That's like a big thing too, to showcase ourselves. Because like if we're mixed in with like, you know, the guys, of course, like we get a chance, but like our time is gonna be shorter most likely. So I see it in that way where it's good. But as far as like seeing it like go somewhere, I don't know just yet, because it's kind of new still to like just have like women's all women shows. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where it's actually gonna reach out to or who's gonna really want more out of it. It's still so new to me. I know that there's WOW as well. And I'm not sure how people feel about WOW, even though it's been going on for several years now, or even like the old school, but I'm talking about the new school, like WOW. But yeah, I still can't really put my finger on it as far as like where this is going to, you know, launch to, like what this is going to make out of.
I feel like, as always, affinity spaces are awesome. And like spaces where like, you know, you are there because you fit into that group, and that means that there's other people there that fit into that group, and it's always fun to come together. It's always like a big old party, especially the Women's Wrestling Army shows. Those are so fun. But mm-hmm. I feel like it sucks that we have to create our own spaces. And it sucks that we have to beg for people to care about them when 6 months later, after the all women's company goes overboard or whatever the heck, can I cuss?
Yeah, you're okay.
Oh, whatever the hell.
There you go. Let it out.
I'm just so mad.
The explicitive is just fine today.
Oh Jesus, what was I saying?
When the women's promotions,
yes, when they grow. You know, when they crumble, when they inevitably go away, you see all these people saying, oh, I loved this, I would have loved to have gone to this if I knew this was in my area. It's like, okay, well, you did, because I saw you like my post. And like that's anything, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say Jay Rose can definitely speak to that.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
be in trouble.
That's unfortunately running a live show for entertainment of anything, like that's what you run into. But it's always the affinity spaces that can't afford to keep going, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
it's always a safe space instead of the ones that have to get put away first. Real hot girl shit. You know what I mean? Like, that was really special.
That was special.
And because money wasn't flowing in enough, it's gone. And, you know, take the criticism however he wants. But, like, if you were only there about the money, that's fine. But don't get upset when people say that. You know, you didn't care about women's wrestling. It was about making a quick buck off of us. And I think that's where a lot of these promotions kind of run into, is they think, well, I book all these women, so people are going to come see all these women. And they don't think about any of the things that happen or that need to go into, fall in the line for a show to actually go well, let alone make money.
Yeah.
Women's wrestling is an investment.
It is. And I actually have something else that, like, reminded me about that. And it's Shimmer, because Shimmer was going on for the longest time.
Iconic.
And now, like, there's no more Shimmer, unfortunately, but so many people loved Shimmer. And, like, when Shimmer ended, that's when people were kind of hit. Like, I think everyone felt it when it was done. And so, like, now, like, these other women's wrestling shows are blooming. Like, we kind of saw, like, the inspiration from Shimmer to do this, because we saw that for sure, that how Shimmer made an example, like, women are badass and they can make a statement. And, like, a lot of the Shimmer women went places. So I think, like, we saw the inspiration out of that and, like, bloomed all these other women's wrestling shows, which is cool. Like, and we're still trying to let people know that, which is crazy to me, because Shimmer was, like, the best example.
I'm so far to say that, like, Shimmer may be the, outside of maybe a Chikara or a CZW, the most important independent wrestling promotion of the 21st century. PWG. Those are the only three that really come to mind to even come close. You can put GCW up there too, but, like, that's the Mount Rushmore. Like, and it's baffling to me. Now, you know, shout out to Prazak and everybody who else did what they needed to do. But, like, Shimmer seemed, at least on the surface, incredibly successful. I feel like if we talked to Prazak, it's like, yeah, it was successful. We got people ready to go, but, like, there was some other stuff that needed to, you know, that they needed to fix. But even in the landscape where there are more women's wrestling promotions, there seems to not have been promotions that have hit the heights that Shimmer has hit. Mm-hmm. Why do you, and this is for all three of y'all, why do you think that is? I know that Shimmer is special, and they also had, you know, the culmination of a lot of special talent all at the same place at the same time. But there is special talent. It wasn't like that when it started. There were people who had to grow into making Shimmer what it is. And I feel like there's a part where we could grow and make something as big as it is right now. And I feel like Mission is the leader in doing something like that. Mm-hmm. But why do you think that we haven't gotten to the point yet where someone has clearly taken in the role that Shimmer has? Or do you feel like someone has taken the role that Shimmer once held as being the prestige women's indie promotion?
I feel like the easy answer is, like, Mission Pro, just because, like, they're really the only all women's promotion that I can think of that's, like, actively running and, like, does have, like, a good mixture of, like, new and, like, already made stars. Like, the roster is insane. The talent they book is crazy. But, like, I do think I wouldn't say it's, like, the catalyst for a lot of women, just because it's in Texas and so far away. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in its own circle, whereas, like, Shimmer, it's in Chicago. It's like, what, half an hour maybe tops to the airport and back. Like, it's connected to everything. The White Eagle, the Berwyn Eagles Club is right off of a train stop, I'm pretty sure. So, like, it's literally so accessible. So that's the only thing I could think of, is just, like, accessibility to women's wrestlers. Because, like, that's usually the cost issue with a lot of people, is like, okay, well, I got to pay your rate, but then you're also in California, so I got to get your hotel, and I got to get your flight. And, like, also, I think a lot of women in wrestling aren't begging for spots anymore.
Yeah.
Really?
I would say majority of us now kind of are like, we know what we bring to the table. So we're not offering to come in for $20 for an opportunity. And I think social media helped a lot with that too. Maybe hindered it, or it made it bad too. I don't know. Maybe from your perspective, J-Ro, it's a little different.
There's two sides. There's two sides.
It does not matter what I think. My opinion does not matter.
I think that the Shimmer thing was a great point to kind of bring up because it kind of got me thinking of something too. The way like Janai kind of explained it, when that broke, like everybody that was a big name over in Shimmer, they're kind of like the leaders or the forefront of women's wrestling today. And I don't know if there's a place that's like that. That's just like a women's wrestling factory, essentially, where just like all these women are continuously being developed on a weekly, monthly basis. They know that they have a place where they can go and shine at the top of the thing. And I don't know if Mission has gotten to that place where women are like, Mission Pro is that place I want to kind of get to show my thing. And I don't know if we could get there or what's going to happen to be that. But I just think it's in that is like Shimmer was a established place that women knew that they could go, and if they went and shine there, they're probably going to get a shot up there. And there's not a place of like, I can go there, and if I do shine there, then I'll get a shot up there. I don't know if that's the reason, but it just kind of feels like there's not really the hub. And the transition of Japan kind of being the big place that women want to go, it kind of changed the perspective of what American women's wrestling is.
Yeah, I think our goals, like as in a general sense, have like changed, or even as our opportunities. Mm-hmm. So like the things that we pursue or go after are different. Like thinking about Shimmer being gone, like that was such a wealth of knowledge for new wrestlers. So I would love, right. I wonder like how that's going to, I don't know, affect, mm-hmm. cause and effect. Cause like I did one seminar there and I feel like I still think about it to this day. Like everything I learned there is still like, no matter if it was like traumatic or not, like I still learned good stuff. So like, you know, being able to work with wrestlers that have been doing it for 15 plus years is like an invaluable opportunity. And I feel like those opportunities for young wrestlers are becoming few and far between for young women in wrestling, just because like, if you're booking a vet, I'm sure you're not paying chump change for it either.
Are you, J-Rose?
Yeah, are you? Huh?
Wait, hold on. Why is this about me?
But you know,
Well, I'm a little different because, like, I'm gonna say that what we do is like, it's not charity, but it's for a cause. You know what I'm
saying? Yes, it's very like, different.
We kind of play by a little bit different rules than everyone else does, but at the same time, like the issues that y'all are describing right now is more astute description of the things that are happening all across independent wrestling, gender notwithstanding. I don't, once again, y'all can correct me, and there's a lot of great promotions. This isn't to say that there aren't a lot of great promotions. No, and a lot of them are better than my promotion. So don't be like, oh, what about your territory? I'm not talking about me. It's not about me right now. But they're where, like, you know, and I mean this semi-rhetorically, but there isn't a star maker right now. Like, there's a lot of great places that put on a lot of great shows, which is the thing when people talk about the health of independent. I'm going to condense this point because I could talk forever about this. But they say, oh, independent wrestling is better than it's ever been. And then other people be like, it's worse than it's ever been. And it's not even about that. If you're talking about gate. Yeah, for sure. It's better than it's ever been. More people are getting paid off of independent wrestling. There are more healthy shows and healthy scenes than there's ever been before.
Right.
But we are lacking in a clear, direct pipeline star maker. It used to be like, if you did well in XYZ, you would show up in XYZ. Or, you know, this other upper place. Like
if you killed it in Ebola, you were gonna
right. If you killed somewhere. It in Ebola, it was raps everywhere else. Yeah. There are people who killed it in Ebola, and they're still in the same places that they are right now. Now those places may be outstanding places. Please don't at me on any of this, y'all. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible. Just, okay. Those are
not
great
me. Just send it to me. I'll say it for you.
No.
I'll be your anger anybody.
But it's very, we're in a point of independent wrestling where because of AEW giving a lot of people opportunities and God bless getting some of my brothers, sisters, and siblings off the streets, WWE signing a lot of people, that we are in a point right now where they're the people who would be, you know, on the precipice of being those up and comers are now by hook, crook, demand, or whether they're ready or not, are that's the top of the top. There's an argument that people say all the time is that the run that you see Daniel Garcia having on right now on TV, he definitely would have been having it on the independents because he was as close to a finished product as we had on the independents right now. But right. That motherfucker wasn't ready to main event the things that he was doing. He's still doing that stuff on TV. And that's my guy, Daniel, if you see this, holler at me. But I think that's more emblematic of a bigger problem. And, well, I ask to y'all now, who are the people that you would say are your, you know, a Heidi Lovelace or a, I forgot what Dakota Kai's indie name is. Phoenix Nitro's going to slap me in the back of the head. Or any manner of people who were, you know, the guy or the gal in Shimmer. Who are those people now to fill those spots so we can continue to start and try and figure out who... Yeah. Like, how can we build the next chamber? And I last point on this, the Mission Pro champion, right? Tiffany, I'm going to pronounce the last name wrong, not even going to say it. She's very good, especially for her time in wrestling. But comparatively to where we were with Shimmer, where it was like either a Joshi wrestler, someone who's been on the scene for a long time, she has to prove herself while being at the top. Who are the people that you think that we need to, or at least ready to be in that position to be like, okay, I'm the stalwart now. I'm not growing. I'm going to be the person who's going to be the example. Or do you think that we're still waiting for that person to show up?
I think it's hard because that group of women are still in our locker rooms. So like,
right.
We'll be, you know, Janai and I could be on shows where we're technically the locker room vet just because we're the one that's been working the longest, but I wouldn't say I walk into a locker room and feel like I'm the
we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, we were literally just talking about this.
Yeah, there isn't like so one example is like one show I went to and like there wasn't anybody really leading the locker room until Mercedes Martinez walked in. Like when you're in the locker room with Mercedes Martinez, she will literally take over and make sure everyone is taken care of, literally.
Whether you want it or not.
And it's like, for like the position like me and Brooke were talking about is like, we feel like we can't fully do that just yet. Like gotcha. We're not at that level where we can do that.
I understand that completely. I had this conversation with Tankman. I was like, hey, can you start helping some of these young kids? Who, me? Yes, you. Who else? who else am I going to get to do it? Continue.
No, yeah, that's basically it. Like, we just like, okay, we can sort of like squeeze in, like, you know, check in with the promoter here and there. But like how Mercedes did it was like absolutely amazing. Like, there's, oh my gosh, like she really made sure that we were all good, comfortable. She made sure she like really found the promoter every chance she did to like let them know, like, hey, we need to get this done right now, like that type of thing. So, like, I'm very thankful to still have those locker room leaders, and it's such like an inspiration to like to see that and then be like, okay, like I feel good, like, and like I kind of look to her as like someone that is very inspiring in that way too, because like again, like I don't want to always feel like I can't really like speak up for myself, but when I see her do it, I'm like, okay, it's possible, like especially being a woman, like it's definitely possible.
Right. Yeah, you guys all made some really great points. Do you think J Rose brought up a great point on how now AEW is signing independent wrestlers off rip? WWE is signing people that have been in the game for a year. Like they'll get a hot independent wrestler, you know, before they even get to fully develop. The pipeline just has changed, I'd say, J Rose. Like, do you think that we will ever have that again? Do we think there will ever be a Shimmer because there's not? It's not needed essentially because there's not a place that needs to be developed because the AEW will come and get you from your training session or WWE will sign you off rip. Do you think they'll ever be that again? Because it's just totally different space that we're in at this point.
I will argue that I feel like we will get it again, but it will take, I don't want to put this. I'm never going to tell somebody not to take a bag. Yes. I'm never going to tell somebody not to take a bag. I'm not Poe. But for all intents and purposes, I'm Poe. I'm never going to tell somebody not to take a bag. But part of this was because there was a massive group of people that said, I'm never going to get signed. So I'm going to just ball out anyways. But I feel like a lot of independent wrestlers don't want to be independent wrestlers. They want to be signed, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the ambition, the drive that comes from that is what everyone should be striving to be. But also, nobody really wants to be an independent wrestler. Everybody right. wants to be on TV. If the shift begins again, and not even from a financial standpoint, because I know like people love saying, oh, I love like the freedom of being able to be my own boss. Not even like that. Just like, I want to be able to wrestle the style. I want to wrestle with no interruption to become the best of what I do at this style. Then by all means, absolutely. Or there's a hiring freeze, across the board. Mm-hmm. And I do see it from WWE's point of view. If I can get you while you're good and someone else taught you those fundamentals and I can take you and I can make you exactly the thing I want you to be, why the hell wouldn't I do it? I can see it, you know, if I'm, you know, Big TK, I got all the money in the world. I need to make sure that you don't go over there and they change you into something that I don't want you to see. I'm going to make sure that you can be the best version of you in due time. But you just got to wait. I'm not mad at any of that. But as someone who loves independent wrestling, I said it before and I said it again, independent wrestling is my favorite form of wrestling because it's mm-hmm. the most freeing form of anything else. There may be a house style of promotion, but there is no house style across the board. If people continue to strive for the freedom that independent wrestling gives us, then yes, absolutely. And I think that I'm not just saying this because you're here, but like Janai is a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like they're on MLW. Like MLW is a bigger promotion. They're on TV, but that's a motherfucking independent wrestler. They've done everything in their power to learn and apply their trade to their own style. And once again, it's gonna sound like I'm glazing, and I promise I'm not. I would say this if you weren't here, but like you are one of the closest people that I see to being that stalwart. If I was creating another Shimmer and I was like, damn, I need somebody to be a staple of what I do to be the next generation of a locker room vet, you're one of the first people I ask mm-hmm. on that I would ask on because straight you up. Do all you're one of the few people who are here who are doing the I'm gonna learn from everything and everyone all around, you know, like you were in the ring with Chima, like
yeah,
like no one is going to be close to that. But like also if someone said, hey, I'm gonna get you 6 figures a year and you only have to work once a week, maybe. I'm not gonna be mad at you at that. I'm praying for that for you. I want that financial security for you.
Yeah. But
you are people like you, or like I would say Becca, who's been going to Europe a whole lot. Ava Everett, also been going to Europe and learning the styles and bringing it back here, were good people, examples of people that we could use to create something Shimmer like. I don't think we're ever gonna get exactly back to Shimmer. Mm-hmm. That's we gotta let that one go. Just like we're never gonna have, you know, we got people who try and do Chikara, myself included. There's not gonna be another Chikara. There's gonna be people who are going to try and do another CZW, prime CZW. It's just not gonna happen. There's never going to be another. I might. you go. What's up?
I popped in to ask one question because I put it in chat, but it took up more than one message, so I can't pull it up on the screen. So with the popularity of Japanese promotions in North America and like the working relationship that some indies have with them, you know, like TJPW and Prestige, for example, could you see a Joshi promotion finding success with an American offshoot in like the same kind of lane as a New Japan Strong? Thanks for answering my question.
Thanks, Mike.
What's the promotion that has all the cool characters in the stables in like the good venue? It's pink. It starts with S.
Stardom?
No. It's in America.
Oh, in America.
Like, Sukaban.
Yes.
Oh, Sukaban.
Sukaban. Yeah.
Sukaban. Yes. I think that that's proof But also, they playing with way more money than any of us are. They're playing with way more money than any of us are. So
it's a different game.
It's a different game, but also it can be done. Like most things in independent wrestling, if you have the money,
consistent money. I know tax refunds about to come out. Don't none of y'all get no damn idea.
No, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. Those are my best paydays. Don't tell you them right. That.
Oh don't my god. That.
Follow your dreams, specifically if you are in the greater Maryland, East Coast, Mid-Atlantic area. Yes.
You follow your dreams. As a matter of fact, you follow your dreams and give me your money. I'll let you hold a clipboard. You want to get an executive producer credit. Anyways,
that's what I'm saying. Give me the money. Yeah. Let me book an all women's promotion.
I think I can't say the. I can't say this. What's the name of the promotion again? I can't. My word is ejected. Yeah. Saban. They can. It proves that you can do it. You know what I'm saying?
And tax swag.
But outside of that, I mean, you gotta have money to do these things, man. I feel like it's fair enough for me to reveal to y'all. I be skating by the skin of my teeth. I gotta work my ass off, and you know, and I love the talent that I book, but like we're not, you know, I'm not gonna have money to book, you know, Breeze and Mustafa Ali. That's just not gonna happen. Yeah. It's just not gonna happen. And shout out to the promotions that do. But like most of us, you know, if we got 2-3 bad houses in a row, that's it. It's done. You're cooked. So yes, to answer your question, in my opinion, yes. But you're gonna have to pony up that money.
Yeah.
Money is what you're saying. You need money for this. Not hopes and dreams. You can't just book a show off hopes and dreams. We're gonna get into a super chat. Vantoon Blaze says, J Rose Reg, tell him about the Discord. Also, Lainey Luck and Steph DeLander couldn't make the show Sunday, so Tootie and Dak did some Looney Tune ish.
Are we talking about Glory Pro right now?
We're talking about Glory Pro.
Yo, I love Vantoon Blaze so much.
The president of Glory Pro,
straight up. You've had a match with Tootie, Janai?
Yeah, at Glory Pro for Mania in Dallas, I did.
They need to run that back again. I need to see that again.
Yeah, I love
that. Write that down. Write that down.
But yeah, this is there's, like I said, starting this, there's still so many places to go with women's wrestling. There's still so much to do. There are things that I think if we kind of consistently as independent wrestling fans just support, like them having hot girl shit shows at 9 a.m. Sometimes we got to show up at wild times. Sometimes we got to, they put our back against the wall, but we got to get up off that wall. Go for it, Brooke. You got it.
It's just real hot girl shit. It was at 9 a.m. Probably the worst time slot. It was for the culture was the night before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So like with the time slot we had, same with For the Culture too, though, the time slots that we had and the moments we were able to create that transcended that time slot, that shitty time slot that went viral for the whole week and leading on after that, I still hear about to this day. And like, but we can't keep it going because it's not making enough money. It's just, it's crazy to me what we're all able to do with so little. And even with what we're able to do, it's still not enough. It's like, what do you want me to do? Sorry.
So no, you're good.
Don't be.
Yeah, don't be sorry at all.
It's very frustrating. It's like we did what we're supposed to do. We went viral, right? Mm-hmm. 9 a.m. show.
Yeah, exactly. What else can you do? Like everybody was talking about that show for the rest of the weekend, and it's still like not enough. It feels pretty frustrating as a fan and consumer too, because you want different stuff like that, that brought a different flavor. Anytime you could kind of support something that's bringing some different marginalized people together and having fun, it seems like a home run. And they're like, no, we actually need you to purchase 5 streams, one per person in order to keep it going. It's like, all right, you guys, you can have it. You can keep it. We'll just do our thing over here.
Thanks for your support. It's not enough. Bye.
Exactly. Great support, but could you bring 5 friends next time? Yeah, all right, great.
You're right. I need all 5 of those friends. Nah, they're right. I need all 5 of those friends.
It's just on a split. It feels performative, and we don't want performative. I think that's the moral of the story is like, it feels good for some people, but the people that they're performing for want more. So don't try to do that. What's in the future in 2024 for Jhené Aiko and Brooke Valentine? What's on the agenda? What are you looking to accomplish? Jhené is already a champion, so she's at the top. Like, what more? What other championships do you want, Jhené?
Yeah, and what Brooke, are you taking from me, Jhené? What's up?
And Brooke, how does it feel to be back?
It's different. It's weird. I feel more secure in my place in wrestling. I feel more secure. I know we were just talking about this, but like as someone that like has had enough experience to maybe be at least a voice in a locker room. I don't know about a leader, but I'm more sure of myself this time around. I'm excited to be back.
I love it.
I just want to wrestle this year. Mm-hmm. I want to go places where I feel supported. I want to go places where like I'm involved in the creative vision of what I get to do. Cause that's the best part about wrestling for me, at least, is like creating stories. So that's what I'm excited to do this year.
Awesome.
Yeah. I am looking forward to Mania week. That's one thing for sure. Mm. I do have some shows coming up where I will be traveling back and forth. Like Kitsune is coming up and it's for the Kitsune Women's Championship.
Ooh.
And it's, I guess, Unagi Sayaka. So I'm looking forward to that. Take that title away. That's the title I'm looking for.
Yes.
But Mania for sure, to just showcase myself again. I'm very happy with the shows that I'm booked on and I'm very excited. There's still some shows for Mania that I can't really announce yet, but yeah, there's Beyond Wrestling coming up.
Yeah, that poster's insane, Sunday. By the way. Holy shit.
Yeah, right?
You missed it. It's based off of a band called NXS. Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah,
really isn't. Continue, Jhené. I'm sorry.
I have a match against Brittany Brooks, which is a first-time match. I've never wrestled her before. Nice. I was watching some of her matches yesterday and taking notes down, so I'm going to be ready for her. And then I have MLW. Yes. I don't know who my opponent is for MLW, but you know how it goes. You know how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping
you ready for
title.
Anything.
I'm ready for, dude, I've been ready for like ever, like
period.
It's been centuries. Okay. Like, come on, who's next? Like, who am I like kicking in the face? Who am I laying it in? Who am I letting it out to? Let's go next, please.
I'm trying to find the picture of when we wrestled, Jhené. I got to show it to the stream.
Oh man, we got some good stuff coming up this year. J Rolls, what place are you at with the NAP development at this point? Are you still in a book somewhere in the corner?
So I can tell y'all this is semi breaking news, and it's bittersweet, but I promise it'll lead to greater things. So. Effective immediately, we are on the hiatus. It's okay. I promise it's okay. We can get into it off stream if you want to. This year has been kicking my black ass, dude. I have suddenly decided I am going to fight back. So the February show, which would be the Sunday, is canceled, and the March 24th show is also canceled. I can confirm, because we have already dotted the line on this one, we will be back in May. I'm taking the time to do, not only because, for those of you who have known me for any longer matter of years, you know that I will throw myself into the wall until the wall breaks. And usually I come up with a busted arm or something, but the wall eventually breaks. The wall is not breaking. So I'm taking the time for once, don't expect it again, to focus on myself and being a better person. And then once I'm, you know, the wires in my head are back where they need to be, we're working on making NAP a better wrestling promotion. So I'll just tell y'all straight up. Let me look at my calendar real quick. Mac, help me. We will be back on calendar.
While you're looking for that, Van Twinblade says Jhené and Tootie for the World Warrior Tag Cup next year? Question mark.
I don't know what you're asking me. I don't book that show. nah, that would be cool.
That'd be dope.
That'd be dope. Have y'all ever tagged before?
Oh, yeah. I think we did in Women's Wrestling Army.
Mm. Yeah, I think you guys did.
Yeah. It was like a quick little, it was like a, I think it was a YouTube free match show.
Ah.
I think.
So do y'all have a name? Or were y'all just y'all names
with an ampersand
in between?
I don't know if we came up with a name. I don't think so. But we had cool tag moves, though. I remember having cool tag moves.
Yeah.
That's what?
That's all it's about, baby.
The what?
That's all it's about.
What is that the tag? Wait, what did you say?
No, I said demon dragons.
Oh, okay.
And then you said, but we had sick tag moves, and I said, that's all it's about.
I think their tag needs to be that's all it's about now.
Yeah,
that's all it's about. It's pretty good.
But Saturday, May 18th, 2024, Nap will be back with our 2-year anniversary celebration at World Famous Hot Boys Hot Chicken in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that show, unless we can figure out a way to make some money, which we won't, that show will be 100% free.
Mm.
Absolutely free to the public. The chicken will not be, the wrestling will be. That's one of the few, like, if you've never been to a Nap show, these are the shows to go to. Last year, we had 10,000 people show up to come see wrestling throughout the day. At one point for the main event match, or near the main event, we had around 600-700 in an alleyway, right off of a main street in Indianapolis. It's an insane time. And if you, once again, if you've ever heard anybody on Nap staff talk about what all we do, World Famous Hot Boys Hot Chicken is something that you need to try in person. It is an environment and a vibe that is unparalleled. And after that, I don't know what the hell we're doing, but I can confirm May 18th, wake up. Damn, this will be the third one. Wake up 3 and Blackout 3 will be on May 18th. So mark that down in your calendars. You don't have to pay for any tickets. Just show up and buy some chicken and alcohol. I mean, you already know you want to, so do it anyways.
Showing up for wrestling, and there's going to be chicken?
There is going to be chicken. Hot chicken. Nashville hot.
I'm in. I mean, I'm not totally in, but I would be in. Oh, that's the picture.
Y'all stand up.
Just beating my ass.
No, Brooke knew what time it was. Like, yo, I don't know. How did I get here?
Listen, I took like 3 months of taekwondo when I was little. I know how. I got it. I'm ready. I protect myself right here, right? I got it.
Them 3 months of taekwondo worked, though. How long ago was that?
Oh, God. I was a baby. I was like 8. I kind of remember like my forms, you know, like the little sequences, but like I broke a board.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Look, okay.
And I was impressed for a little second there.
I remember one time.
Was it the actual wooden boards? Was it the ones that are like already split in the middle?
I was probably already split in the middle. I was 8. I don't know.
Nah, don't admit that. Stop. You're a worker. That was some oak. They got you. What are you talking about?
Right, we don't got footage on it.
I remember one match I got to the back and I randomly threw kicks in a match. And I asked Janai, I was like, hey, did you see those kicks? Were those good? And she looked at me and said, yeah, that would have been better if you took my kickboxing class, though.
Yep. Yep.
And she was right. I should have taken her kickboxing class.
Janai's a double worker, I see. Lost the match. Always working. Mm-hmm. I lost the match.
I lost. Like, them kicks. You saw it, right?
Them kicks, though. Yeah, no, I was throwing them. Well, everyone, it has been a great time. Talking women's wrestling on Indeed. I've been wanting to do a women's wrestling roundtable for a long time, and there will be more, but this was definitely a great way. Want to shout out Brooke Valentine, Janai Kai for joining us on the pod today, getting into some good stuff, not getting in trouble. Everything was on the line. Like nobody has hurt. Nobody was offended. Nobody was anything. And of course, Jay Rose for bringing his intelligence to the podcast.
That's one way to put it, buddy. All
right. It is what it is, J Rose. Don't try to take it away from us. Yeah, we got one more Black History Month thing. We got an extra day this year. Did you guys hear about that? Like, leap year got us an extra.
Next year, I'm asking for 2 extra days. Don't worry about it. I got it.
I got it. It's crazy.
But do you know what we're doing so far, or is it still up in the air?
It's still up in the air, but we're going to end it on a good note. Everybody, appreciate you guys for coming around for Black History Month. It's been some fun stuff. But yeah, one more. Where can we find Janai and Brooke socially before we slide out of here?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Janai underscore Kai. Instagram, Janai underscore Kai. You can find me on TikTok, Janai Kai. And I have Patreon as well. If you want to see some vlogs and whatnot and daily blog posts, it's patreon.com/JanaiKai.
Sweet.
On everything, Twitter, only Twitter, if you call it X, don't follow me. Wow. Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, Queen B, Brooke V, everywhere.
You're gonna be on Twitch right after this, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be streaming right after this in like 10 minutes. I gotta go feed my cats, but 7:30 I'll be going live on Twitch. Little babies, I can hear, they're actually at the door right now.
They're like, oh, come out, we're hungry.
Let them in.
You dumb bitch, it's not my fault you didn't, your internet wasn't working.
And J Rose, where can they find you before we get up out of here?
This,
you don't really be online, we get it.
Online, that's not a good place for me. But if you were ever so inclined to want to see what I was doing, this is J Rose on everything. Also, if you, I'll come back to Twitter if y'all can get Monty Brown on the show next week. Thank you.
What?
The ball's in your court. That's how I want it in my Black History.
That could be really easy. Let me get on that.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you missed the 500, man. You got it. You missed the 500.
You got it. It's crazy.
If he's he could be in the 500. You know what I'm saying?
Would you settle for Ahmed Johnson?
You bet your fucking ass I settle for Ahmed Johnson.
Me
when
too.
I show up next week and I got knee pads on my elbows, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. I'm on it. You can get Slick on here. You can get you know, go get Aja Khan. You know what I'm saying? I know you got it, man. I know you got it, man.
Imagine if we followed this up with Aja Khan, we'd be killing it for the month. Yeah, we'll have something. We'll let you guys know. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Y'all enjoy your Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'll see y'all next week. Peace, peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.